The Fearless Podcast, in a time of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act.
There are moments in history when men must rise, not drift, not hide, and certainly not apologize for standing on truth. I believe we're living in an era of cognitive dissonance. We spent a lot of time on this show talking about faith, family, food, the farm, and finance for a reason. Because today, the world is throwing another changeup. It's like a cognitive tsunami. What I'm referencing is 2 weeks ago, an AI expert, Matt Schumer. This guy lives and breathes AI, and he dropped a viral essay. It was real big on Twitter, but it went everywhere, and many people were sharing it. Many of friends and people I know were sharing it, and they were interacting about it. And it was titled, "Something Big is Happening." And he's comparing right now to February of 2020, right before the whole world went into lockdown. And basically what he said is this disruption isn't coming. It's already happened. It's already happened in his office and it's coming to your office. Then almost at the exact same time, we had Elon Musk at the World Economic Forum, and he was being interviewed by Larry Fink, the CEO of BlackRock. You know, all of our favorite people that just have our best intentions at heart. But Elon is at WEF telling us that AI and robotics are within the next 10 to 20 years are going to create abundance like we have never seen before in history. And there's no need to save for retirement, whatever that is, but there's no reason to squirrel away your money and save because this unbelievable unknown abundance is going to be created in the next 10 to 20 years and solve the poverty problem. And basically all problems, all financial problems are going to be resolved, probably including national debts and whatever, even though that didn't come up. But obviously, if you're creating this much abundance, it would obviously eliminate all debt. And this is under the assumption that these creators of AI and those that are putting it out there, making it available, along with the robotics creators and fabricators and manufacturers, that they are somehow going to basically benevolently give this all away. You know, as we scale, supposedly the cost goes lower, and then magically it's going to create all of this abundance. And then for some reason, that's going to be equally distributed to everyone, which we've never seen in history. And there's no indication of any type of benevolence like that from any man, from any human. There's no type of benevolence like that. So he's basically saying, don't save because it won't matter. So you have one man, one expert saying to save absolutely every cent and squirrel it away, basically because you're not going to be able to work because there isn't going to be any work. So this huge disruption is like this cataclysmic event, and you couldn't possibly work in non-robotic and non-AI impacted trades like plumbing, electrical, and construction. Like somehow these other trades are going to be completely resolved and processed by AI and robotics as well. Even though if you are currently using AI, I just this weekend, I was using AI to perform a basic search of public record, and I used two or three different AI, and they could not give me an answer at all, and they would clock and clock and clock. And these are the types of things that we're seeing in these MIT studies about AI not performing to this level. But basically, we have these two men, these two experts in their fields, and they're experts in the same field, and they're looking at the same horizon, but they're avoiding and ignoring the foundation. They're looking at the technology, but they're not looking at the economy, which is why I talked about the home economy being the ultimate decentralization of economy in general. And you can't ignore the home economy when you're looking at the economy in general. So I wanted to juxtapose these two secular visions of the future and see them for what they really are. They're a choice between panic and passivity. There's nothing better in this modern TikTok, Instagram, shorts, instant gratification, Snapchat culture than the notion of passivity. Like, you don't have to do anything, and magically the AI and the robots, they're going to not only do it all for you, they're going to create so much abundance, and then they're going to benevolently spread this abundance and solve poverty. Like this, I mean, economically, whether you're an Austrian or a Keynesian, nobody can buy into this. Anyone that has any type of economic sense, this is just, it's foolish, it's rhetoric. And it defies logic, defies ration, it defies reason, and it defies history. It's unobservable. So I wanted to talk about this choice between panic and passivity and say there is a third way. It's the fearless way. It's the parallel way. It's a parallel solution, a parallel economy, and a parallel community or society. Spurgeon once said, the best and the wisest thing in the world is to work as if it all depends upon you, and then trust in God, knowing that it all depends upon Him. So, to get started, let's look at what Matt Schumer was saying. In Matt's thesis, he says, on February 26th, the game changed. We move from an AI that helps you write an email to an AI with taste and judgment. He's watching models like GPT 5.3. He's watching them build entire applications autonomously, debug them, design the flow, and then hand you back a finished product with no type of human intervention. And I recently was discussing MIT studies that say this is objectively false. This is not happening. And that's why I was pointing out just the simple AI searches that I was doing this weekend that were providing zero results. And that's not because I don't know how to prompt, you know? And this is all, there's lots of newspeak involved in all this, and that's what happens as society changes. So Schumer is sounding the alarm for the white-collar worker, the lawyer, the accountant, the software designer, the people who thought they were in safe harbors. You know, in the past, when the tractor replaced the plow, the man moved to the factory. When the factory automated, he moved to the office. But Schumer's pointing out that there's no safe harbor now, because AI is the general substitute for cognitive work. Now, what's being ignored here? The other trades and other forms of work that have been relegated to like growing and raising your own organic regenerative food. And this is completely being ignored. But basically what he's saying is save every cent. You know, you got to build this radical financial resilience because the next 2 to 5 years are going to be disorienting in ways you aren't prepared for. Now, I believe that's probably still true for people that aren't paying attention. Just like people that weren't paying attention in 2020 with the lockdowns, even though guys like James Corbett and other people since like 2013 or 16 were warning about this stuff and warning about all this legislation and all this manipulation and all these bio experiments and whatnot and laboratories and all these different things that were going on and all these different tabletop exercises that they were talking about and that was out there and that was in the public sphere, but people were just ignoring what was being worked on and what was being talked about. Now, the Word of God tells us in James 4:13 and 14, it says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then vanish. And that doesn't mean that you don't prepare. That doesn't mean that you don't think. What it does mean is for us as leaders, for us as fathers, the patriarchy, what it does mean is that we have to be the thought leaders. We have to be the thinkers. We have to be those that look into the future and plan for the future and plan ahead. And we try and we fail and adjust. But listening to these technical experts that have been elevated to almost a deity, listening to these technical experts that quite literally spew the exact opposite of each other. It's incredibly fascinating. And in my opinion, it's done on purpose to create cognitive dissonance, to create confusion, to create something that is incredibly disorienting. You know, Schumer's right to warn about the uncertainty, but his solution is to squirrel away every penny, which isn't really a bad idea, y'all. But if you squirrel away fiat currency in a system that's designed to destroy your buying power, you're just hoarding vapor. That's why all of these ideas have to be talked about holistically. You can't ever pin them and peg them down into this narrow purview. You have to look at all these other outside factors because they all influence and affect one another. Spurgeon warned us about this kind of focus on the purse over the heart. He said, "Happiness lies in the heart rather than the purse. Not what a man has, but what a man is, will decide his bliss or woe in this life and the next." If your resilience is only as deep as your bank account, you will collapse when the bank does. So now on the other side of this duplicitous idea of the future of work and AI, you have Elon Musk at Davos, and he's painting a picture of universal high income. He says that we're headed for an explosion in the global economy that is truly beyond all precedent. He envisions billions of humanoid robots like Tesla's Optimus performing every task from industrial labor to watching your kids and protecting your elderly parents. And then he says that the world He tells the world that retirement savings, savings in general, I don't buy into the whole Bismarckian concept of retirement. I'm an Austrian. I was designed and created to work. I will work until the Lord takes me home. So I don't buy into the whole retirement thing. But he's basically saying that savings will be irrelevant. Why? Save for a future where everything is free. Doesn't that sound like a beautiful utopia? A world with no scarcity of goods and services. But here's the rub. Musk himself admits that the transition will be bumpy. He even asked the question, if you actually get all the stuff you want, is that actually the future you want? He's worried about the loss of purpose. Friends, purpose is not something that a robot or a program can give you. An abundance without stewardship is just a gilded cage. When Musk says a robot will watch your kids, he's describing a fatherhood vacuum. If a machine provides provision and a machine provides protection, what's left for the man? Timothy, 1 Timothy 6:17 says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Musk is asking us to trust in uncertain riches, because I certainly think that those uncertain riches will not be there. Not for us commoners, not for us taxpayers. If this was a solution, this would be a tax elimination solution, and we could focus our government development on this. So then you could eliminate taxpayers by creating this abundance through software and through robotics, and then none of us would have to pay taxes. That is not going to happen. That has never happened, and that's not going to happen. Musk is asking us to trust in a robotic workforce that's owned by a handful of central planners. There's no way that these central planners are going to benevolently give away all of what they are generating and accumulating. That has never happened, nor will it ever happen. And that defies basic economics. That defies even the idea of ownership. Spurgeon had a word for those that thought they could retire into idleness. And he said, work is always healthier for us than idleness. It is always better to wear out shoes than sheets. Musk's vision isn't liberation. It's an invitation to spiritual and physical atrophy. Schumer wants you to panic save. Musk wants you to passively wait. Both visions require and demand you stay dependent on a centralized system. This is why we always talk about decentralization. This is why I brought up home economics, the household management. The family was designed to be the first business, the first school, the first supply chain. That's why I brought up 1913 and the income tax to circumvent and to penalize and to effect and to disrupt that. It was designed to destroy home economics, and it was to destroy the decentralization of home economics to build a pathway for the industrial age, which in turn further destroyed the household, destroyed the nuclear family, destroyed the marriage between a husband and a wife, destroyed the be fruitful and multiply. It deconstructed and destroyed all that. If you want to be fearless in the face of AI, you don't start in Washington. You don't start by hoping for universal high income from the government. That's not going to happen. You start by rebuilding the home economy. You start by a complete decentralization of your own personal system. Food decentralization. Grow your own food. Don't outsource your food production to monoliths like Walmart. Financial decentralization. Instead of squirreling away money in these tax-deferred, tax-sheltered carrots given to you by the government, whether it's your mortgage and your tax-deferred or your tax-deductible interest payments that go to the huge banks, or it's the 401k or any type of tax-deferred savings account that you cannot access without penalty. I'll recommend the book, How Privatized Banking Really Works. And I'll recommend that book again. If you read that, you will know what the problems are, and then you will know how to implement the solution. And if you don't know the problem, the solution doesn't matter. You must also educate and live on decentralization. Raise functional children that aren't addicted to these devices, these blue screens, to get their dopamine hits. You have to create these polymaths that are always thinking for themselves and they're being creative. You know, the boys, they have a small construction company currently building an Airbnb. They built a couple tiny homes and they decided that they were going to sell one of their tiny homes, and it was completely off-grid with solar. And so they put it up for sale. They just sold it this weekend. And that, in a way, it gives them a place to store some of their capital, right, in the materials and whatnot, store their sweat equity, and they can build that. And then they can sell it. They can provide a solution to the market that in turn pays them a premium. And all it really is an idea put into action. But you can't put that idea into action without the skills necessary to bring the idea to life. And this is why there is not all this doom and gloom with the end of humanity as we know it, because of AI and because of robotics. There aren't any robotics currently building homes from breaking of the ground to the interior design to the decorating it and the whole entire nine. That doesn't exist. That's not going to exist 10 years from now. You know, and there is no AI or robotics that is growing healthy organic food for you to feed your family. It's just not. And these are opportunities that you need to take advantage of. Now, does that mean you might have to try, fail, and adjust? Does that mean you might have to shift, you know, occupations? Like, well, this is what I went to college for. This is what I've always done. Well, you might have to adjust. And that's all part of life, and that's all part of development. And that's why you should always be considering that, hey, do I have to adjust here? Do I have to make a change? You know, that's all part of looking ahead, preparing, and Spurgeon said, Economy is a duty. Extravagance is a sin. But the true economy isn't just spending money. It's the management of the household resources for the glory of God. This is why we continue to bring up similar topics and discuss them, because they're all interwoven together and they're all quintessentially important to one another. Musk predicts a future where robots outnumber humans. He says they will protect an elderly parent. I tell you today, this is legacy work. That is the duty of a son. That's the duty of a father. When we outsource our duties to technology, we abdicate our authority. And I've said this before, if men do not lead, else will. Feminism will fill the vacuum. It has. Government will fill the vacuum. And now artificial intelligence will fill the vacuum. Are your kids asking more questions to AI than they are asking to you? Are you paying attention? Are you listening so that they even would feel like they could ask you a question? Or are you just going to abdicate your responsibility to AI and let some program give them the answer? A fearless father is a boundary setter. He walks the perimeter. We talked about that fence, checking the fence lines. He doesn't wait for the fence to fail. He checks it every morning. Schumer says that you should integrate AI into your work to stay valuable. Fine, use the tool. I don't see anything wrong with that, with using the tool. If it makes you quicker, if it makes you more efficient. I mean, it's just like email. It's just like a cell phone, you know, and these technologies cut both ways, right? A cell phone is great because someone can always get a hold of you. It's quick, it's concise text messaging. And nobody is saying to be a Luddite and don't use the technology. But it's when you allow the technology to replace contact, emotions, feelings, interactions, love, encouragement, the asking and answering of questions. That's when the tool becomes the master. Don't let the algorithm become the leader of your home. Proverbs 10:4-5 says, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. So, in closing, we juxtapose these two experts that are these future men with all the ideas, with all the solutions, right? Matt Schumer says, the tsunami's here. Panic, save, and adapt. Elon Musk says, the tsunami is here. It's bringing free lunch. Relax. I say, the seasons are changing, but God is eternal. God does not change. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? That's a great question. One thing that we can do is rebuild them. We don't need a new president or a new movement in Washington. We really need them all to really go away, or at least go to prison. We really need all of them to at least go to prison. We really need all of them to at least go to prison. And that would be the kindest thing that should happen to them, all of them. go to prison. We need households that are productive, decentralized, and rooted in God's word. Spurgeon reminds us, God's providence is always on time. He's never late. No, not by one tick of the clock. And I say that they all need to go to prison because this Epstein stuff keeps coming up. And it's obvious and evident. The reason that it does is because nothing's going to happen. And the purpose for that is to destabilize society. When the citizens see that the oligarchs can do whatever they want with no consequences and no ramifications, and there are no rules and there are no laws and there is no justice. This is why God demands and requires justice, just weights and balances. They are doing this over and to disrupt society and culture, to create chaos. And then they sprinkle in Matt Schumer that the sky is falling. And then Elon Musk is, no, it's not only is it not falling, but everything's going to be great. And all you have to do is wait. Don't fear the cognitive tsunami. Fear the Lord. Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A child or a man who fears God fears nothing else. But a man who does not fear God will fear everything, including a piece of software. Fathers, don't shrink. Don't apologize. Lead boldly. Love deeply. Build generationally. Whether the future brings the turbulence Schumer fears or the abundance Musk promises, the solution is the same. The home is the economy. Rebuild the fence. Check the fence line. Guard the gates. And live fearlessly. I hope this gets you thinking today. Let's discuss it down below. If you're looking for parallel solutions, you can check us out at thetexasboys.com. Subscribe to the podcast. Let's interact. Check us out on the Fountain app. We can interact over there as well. I hope this helps. Have a blessed day.